This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last month, Donald Trump announced a 25% tariff on steel that many said would create a trade war. He said that'd be a good thing. And now the trade war is on. China says it plans to impose tariffs of up to 25% on a number of products, including pork and tobacco. That is relevant, of course, to the state of North Carolina. Following the story for us is WUNC Daily News producer Will Michaels. Hello, Will.
Hey, Frank.
Let's start with the pork tariff and talk a little bit about, obviously, North Carolina, a big pork-producing state. I'm assuming a lot of it is exported. Give us the picture of North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any way to describe the way that pork producers are reacting so far, it's probably cautious pessimism, if that's a thing. Any sort of dip into the way that pork producers can make money is going to really turn off pork producer advocates, including the North Carolina Pork Council, who I talked to the other day. Here's the quick picture. North Carolina exports about $650 million worth of pork. They exported that last year. About $100 million of that went to China. And then if we want to talk about overall agricultural exports, you're looking at upwards of $4 billion. So it's not going to cripple the state economy and dip into the GDP by any means, but it is certainly not insignificant, and that's how it was described to me.
It's $100 million, and I guess what's interesting about this, and I didn't know, but you found this out, is that what mostly we export, we, the state of North Carolina, to China, is what they call variety meats, those things that many of us don't often eat.
Exactly. We produce, or what we send to China often are the parts like pig ears, the pig feet and pig stomach, things that don't sell as well here in the U.S. And that's about 3% of the entire overall production of pork in North Carolina. So again, a fairly small number, but it still remains to be seen, right? Until the market responds, it's hard to put a price on exactly how much it's going to affect the state of North Carolina.
No, but the exports right now are about $100 million. So whatever it is, whether it's ears and stomachs, it's about $100 million worth of that stuff. And we're looking at tariffs, so we don't know exactly. And you talked to Jen Kendrick of the North Carolina Pork Council, who expressed, I think, some of the cautious pessimism that you reflected earlier.
You know, we're definitely disappointed that China has placed an additional tariff on U.S. pork exports, but we also recognize that they're still negotiating, and so we're hoping they come to better terms.
There we go. That's we're talking about. That's Jen Kendrick of the North Carolina Pork Council talking with Will Michaels, who's covering the story for WUNC. Now, we just heard that there are more. We talked about pork, and that was in the initial burst of tariffs announced by China in retaliation. Now some new products, including tobacco, 10 tobacco and tobacco-related products are now on the list. That just released, I think, this morning. So have you heard anything about the impact on this state, Will?
Yeah, I think there's a group called the North Carolina Tobacco Growers Association. They're still trying to suss out exactly what that means for North Carolina, but I can tell you about North Carolina's tobacco exports in the same sort of way. I mentioned that $650 million of exports, we as a state export $650 million worth of pork, and it's about $550 million for tobacco, but there is a higher demand for tobacco in China. You have seen in the past several years the number of smokers both in the U.S. and China going down, but it is still a much higher demand. There are more smokers in China than there are here in the U.S. So I think it still remains to be seen exactly how it's going to affect the market, but that kind of gives you an idea of where we are in North Carolina. Again, pork is the number one export. Tobacco is number two.
Pork, the number one export, and it might, if it has any impact at all, disproportionately affect two counties, in particular North Carolina, right?
Yeah, Duplin and Sampson County in eastern North Carolina are both make up about half of all pork or hog farmers, that is, in North Carolina. So it is going to have a disproportionate effect on rural North Carolina, no doubt. The interesting question going forward, and again, it's hard to tell exactly what it's going to do to each farmer individually, but the interesting question I would think going forward is how that might play out politically, because these are counties that did vote for President Trump overwhelmingly. But again, that this sort of tit-for-tat trade war that we're starting to see suss out is you heard Jen Kendrick talking about, you know, they're still negotiating. And what she means by that is that the Pork Council is hoping that these tit-for-tat tariffs are going to maybe prompt a new trade deal with China. That's what the Pork Council and the Tobacco Growers Association are holding out for, that this is not going to stand the way it is and that the two countries will come to some sort of different agreement.
All right. Well, stick with us for a minute because we're looking at the impact at the moment on the state of North Carolina in the new trade war now that has been developed, that has developed over the Trump tariffs. Joining us now is Richard Craver. He is senior business and healthcare reporter at the Winston-Salem Journal, and he's been following the story on steel tariffs. Richard, welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Your report indicates that there's kind of a divide over how the steel tariffs might play out in the state of North Carolina. Give us a sense of what might happen here.
Well, as much about concerns about winters and such a thing in a global trade war, certainly you have the same dynamic in place in North Carolina. You have a group in my backyard, Insteel, which uses steel products in terms of providing wiring and reinforcing products for infrastructure products. And then you have somebody like Nucor, who's in Charlotte, is one of the world's largest steel producers. So, you know, in one end, the tariffs to increase the price of steel imports would certainly benefit Nucor in terms of their pricing. But at the same time, Insteel has certainly made it why it wouldn't be crippling, at least initially, that they could see a drop-off in business from customers who either will start to source lower-cost steel products, or they may find some types of products and services just beyond their profit means to continue.
And the interesting thing is the number of people employed in those two industries. The steel-making industry, which stands to benefit by the tariff, far smaller in terms of its footprint in the United States than those other industries that use steel and whose prices are going to go up, right?
Right. I'll give you an example, both anecdotally, locally, and then nationally. Insteel says they have 803 employees. They have plants in 10 states, and average salary is somewhere around $20 an hour, whereas Nucor has 25,100 employees globally. But then if you talk about the national perspective, there's about 200,000 employees who actually work in producing steel. And then there's 6.5 million employees who, in the way Insteel described it, that rely on competitively priced raw materials to compete in their steel markets, and in particular about a million in an Insteel's business.
And Insteel, the CEO at Insteel told you that they don't really anticipate, even if these tariffs go forward in the way that they're set up at the moment, they don't really think that there will be layoffs, but it will have an impact on their business, right?
Right. They may end up, like I said, there may be some business that just becomes cost prohibitive for them to pursue because of the imports. And like I said, they don't get that much imports from China, but you don't know how much this is going to extrapolate into other countries. I know that the big concern is that you may have some ripple effect affecting Canada and the like, and that's where you might really start seeing the pain come.
He also, the same CEO indicated, and I've seen these reports elsewhere, is that the steel industry that's being protected by these tariffs may not be helped very much by them because there are so many fundamental problems in the steel industry that are causing it to be not as competitive, owing to legacy pensions and other things. The tariff might not even be very helpful for them.
Well,
we're having a problem. Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you to repeat that if I can. We're having a little bit of problem with your phone line.
Okay. What H.L. Volz told me when I interviewed him for the story was basically the same you're talking about, that these legacy costs are, you know, and you could make that kind of extrapolation into the automobile industry, into the tobacco manufacturing industry, a lot of these legacy industries that were based on, you know, different economic times, and certainly the economic times we've seen in the last 10 years, although things have improved, we're not going to go back to the level of manufacturing employment that we once did. So in this instance, are you in a situation where you're helping to sustain a business that is slowly dying in this country compared to a business that is stable, may even actually grow a little bit in this country, but at the same time, you know, they're obviously dependent on each other.
And we haven't even talked about the beer business yet, and they're worried about the increased cost for canning their product, and there's a lot of beer production going on in the state of North Carolina, and beer makers are worried.
Right. Now, story in the day about the difference in the cost of a tin being somewhere between 2.4 cents for the 10 and 3 cents a 10. And just talking about if you multiply that over hundreds of thousands or millions of cans of beer, depending on the size of your brewery, that adds up after a while. And, you know, and it's a market and it's a industry where we're trying to really support North Carolina just because it seems to have taken root here quite nicely. So it's one of those situations, do you end up hurting something that is a growth industry that seems to have a relatively low entrance cost to business? At the same time, you know, we always talk about small businesses end up being the groups that help create the majority of jobs in our country, and I would say the brewing industry is certainly one of those.
Richard Craver, Senior Business and Healthcare Reporter for the Winston-Salem Journal. Richard, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Will Michaels, WUNC Daily News Reporter. Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look back at the 1918 flu pandemic. How bad was it, and what have we learned? We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.